Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries online radio show. I'm your presiding minister, Angela McCarty, Chicago-based poet known as Sister Poochie, here for another afternoon of praising and worshiping God. And actually, today we have an interview with Michael Webb, who's an extraordinary author, songwriter, and musician, and I can't wait to get to know him. Now, first thing that we have to do is start to show off, of course, with the word. And I am coming from purpose, and I'm going to read from Romans 8, chapter 28, verse. We know all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who he has called according to his purpose or his plan. That is really what this interview is all about today, is looking at other people's purpose and God's plan for them, and beginning to accept the gifts that God has given each one of us to enhance another person's life. And Michael is on the line, so I'm going to bring him on. Michael Webb, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am wonderful by the grace of God. I'm doing just fine.
Good.
Yes, I was just reading, I don't know if you got a chance to hear it, from Romans 8, chapter 28, verse, that, you know, all things work for the good of us who love God and who are called to his purpose. One of the things I wanted to do when I met you and I began to read a little bit about your book and find out you're a musician and corresponded with you is that God has called you for a purpose, and I wanted to highlight that on today's show. If you don't mind, I'm going to be asking you a lot of questions.
It's fine.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to jump into it. First, it gives everyone the title of the book and the overall motivation for you to write this book.
The title of the book is Love, Inspiration, War, three-word title.
Mm-hmm.
The inspiration of the book came from me just writing and drawing throughout the years.
Okay.
And that's where it came from. And one day God said, take what you have and put it in the book. And that's what I did.
Absolutely. Were you going, finding your way towards a closer relationship with Christ as you were writing the book? Did you feel like you were being drawn closer and closer to him?
I would have to say definitely yes.
All right.
Because I was writing a lot of out of experience.
Mhm. Mhm. Well, one of the things I would love for you to do is give the audience an example of an experience that you did write about in the book, if you could share a little.
Wow, so many. Wow, just writing throughout the years, my experiences in ministry, my experiences in life, family, relationships, just various things. And, you know, just different walks of life temptations. The grace of God when you know you've made a mistake, how do you come back from that? You know, how do you refocus on the Lord and move forward? Those type of just various things that God was just teaching me along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
When he told you to put it in a book, were you like surprised that he wanted you to do that, or what kind of emotion did that ignite in you? I know I wrote a book, and when God told me to put it in paper, dedicated to him, I myself felt honored that he chose me to put a word out there for someone. Did you have a similar experience?
I would definitely say so. My heart was kind of, it was like a light bulb went off. I didn't see it coming.
Oh, wow.
I would just, I was just like, wow, okay, God wants me to do this, because I was at a place in my life, at this point I was working two jobs, and I still was not fulfilled. I was doing ministry already. And in the process of doing it, I was like, okay, God, this is good, but it's something missing. And then God was like, what is it that you love to do? What is something you like to do? And I thought, and it came to me when I wrote, when I draw, when I do poems, when I write stories, you know, those things gave me joy. And God said, take what you've done already and put it in the book. And the light bill just went off, and I was just humbled.
Okay. Wow. Yes, I can definitely relate to that. You know, you never know who out there is going to be able to take your story and actually get from a dark place at times. I haven't read your book, but spiritually, a lot of times when we don't read anything in the natural, God tells us, or Christ lets us know that this is something definitely to highlight. Just by what I've read in the introduction of your book that you have on the website, which I want to have you give out a little bit later. But one of the things that struck me is that you wrote with such humility and such humble, you know, you're so humble in the things that you said, even in the description of it, it just overtook me. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to interview you. Our mission here at the ministry is to highlight the God-given talent of others and to encourage them. And I want to encourage everyone to definitely get a copy of the book. Where could they find it if they were interested in getting a copy?
Well, they can definitely get it, if not from me directly. They can go online at outskirts.com, and they can also go online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Okay, and give the title out one more time. I know everyone didn't have their pencils ready when we said it, so, you know. So give it out one more time, the title of the book.
Love, Inspiration, War.
Love, Inspiration, War.
Yes.
Okay. You know, you could take a lot out of just the title. It's such a spiritual warfare, and our only weapon is love. And so when you said the title, I was like, yeah, that's a win-win situation. Being inspired.
The three-word title. I could not come up with one word to describe the book, and I was like, God, what should I name it? Because it's dealing with so many different things. And like you say, the love, inspiration, war, you know, warfare. And you're like, how does all that mix together? But, you know, that's really what the Christian life is all about. It's joyful, but there are times where you have to do what Jesus did, which is go against the things that are not right within your culture, and you speak out for God, and not just speak it out, but live it out. You know, the Word of God. You know, live in obedience to it, and that's where the war comes in.
Yeah.
And you need inspiration from God in the process of it.
Well, I think it's God, so we know it's an all right title. But I think He definitely answered your prayers in the title of that. Now. You're a very multi-talented man of God. You're also a musician and a songwriter, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so I know this morning I had the pleasure, everybody, of seeing a little YouTube unplugged from Michael. And it was a wonderful little piece. And I wanted to know if you can do anything a cappella for us, because you have a beautiful voice of an angel. I love putting people on the spot, by the way.
I guess church hymns never go wrong, so church songs never go, you know, you can never go wrong with one of those. So
no, you can't.
let's see. Here we go. I need you. I need you every hour. I need you. Oh, man. Now, my Savior, I come to be what I need. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was just sitting here laying, sitting back. You know, that is beautiful. That is so, like I said, you have a voice. I call it of an angel, and I'm not just saying this, people, just, you know, I don't like to say things that just to be saying them. One of the things I deal with is chronic pain, and one of the things that soothes it is a voice of an angel. And when I listen to you unplugged on YouTube, I have to say that I did feel the Spirit coming through you. And I know you have been personally praying for me, and I wanted to thank you for that and give it a little live show of the healing that is in your voice. And people can be healed a lot of different ways. Where do you want people to get to your voice?
I'm sorry, I missed that again.
I'm sorry. What what do you want people to get from your music?
When I do music, whether it's playing or singing or even writing, I want them to, first of all, in feel the presence of God, and number two, enjoy it.
Mm.
You know, because sometimes we as people who do music, we can get so caught up in trying to hit the run right or trying to hit the right note or the right break or so much that you can even lose focus of the one who gave you the gift to do it. So the first thing I want people to do is just really, when they hear me sing or minister through music, is to totally focus on God. Even if they didn't even plan to, it will be something that will compel them to stop and say, well, I need to think about my life, my relationship with God. I want a deeper relationship with God. And then, too, that becomes enjoyable. Once you really find out who God is, you're like, man, this is the bomb. You know, this is the thing. You know,
tell him.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best way I can say it. It's like over the top, off the chain, you know, like,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. You know, it's. When he said, my joy I leave with you, he meant that. No matter what you're going through or what trials you're facing on this earth, if you just take the joy of Jesus, you are like on, you're riding on the cloud. It's like above it all, because his grace is sufficient for us to carry on. So I am totally in agreement with that. I want everybody to get hooked on Christ. And get a closer relationship. Yeah. You know, it's like he tells you not to worry. He tells, I mean, he really set it up for us to get through this world and to the return. And I just hope everyone would start in any media that you need, music, poetry, traditional Bible study, whatever it takes for you to get closer, I say go for it, you know.
Absolutely.
Okay, I wanted to play a song, God's Grace is Sufficient, and then come back and talk to you a little bit more. Would you mind that?
Oh, no. No problem.
Okay.
I'm here.
All right. You're going to hang out. Cool. All right.
Okay.
This is God's Grace. God's Grace is Sufficient by Society Hill Music, everyone. Here we go. By his grace and his mercy. And I was one of my favorite songs that we have for the show by Society Hill Music. That was God's Grace is Sufficient. Now, Mr. Webb, you mentioned ministry a couple of times in the beginning of the show. Can you share with us what ministry work you're doing?
Well, I've been ministering with two ministries, but I grew up in my father's church, or our church, when we were children, New Living Faith, right here in Virginia. And,
Norfolk.
Yes, Norfolk, Virginia, home of the military, one of the largest naval bases, all that good stuff.
Right. Okay.
So we were in the inner city area. So the inner city side of Norfolk. And that's where I grew up, and that's where I was living, and that's where our ministry was located. So my father became a pastor. He left Kojic and started his own ministry. And we were there when I was seven. That's when he started. And in recent years, not only worked with my father's ministry, but also with Salvation Army Ministries as of most recent. And we ministered to just a variety of types of people. I do also the boys' men's basketball ministry there, music ministry on a praise team.
Oh, wow.
Pastoral council, things of that sort. And I continue to minister, do outreach whenever possible. So, and we also do nursing homes, visitations, especially, particularly me and my parents. So
okay.
We still minister together in different places. So we're all over the place.
Well, you know, that's how we have to be, in order to get the good news out. I was fascinated with all of the different avenues that you're ministering in, because that's how we have to do it in order to reach, everyone. He said, my word will be preached from the ends of the earth before I return. And so we have to start doing that. And even in just telling our stories like you're doing today, I know this might bless someone immensely. I know you said you did nursing home ministry. And this is just a side note. Side note. But if you guys ever need any Bibles, large print Bibles, let us know. Our ministry is outreach as well. We're an internet-only ministry, but we try to help ministries as they go along. So keep that in mind if you need some.
Amen. Definitely. Definitely.
Okay. Well, send me the information, and we can get a couple out to you. And that's for everybody listening, by the way. We have Bibles. They were giving them away, so just let me know, and we shall do that. So getting back to what we were talking about as far as ministry, you said how many years have you been in course in ministry?
But what I count the time when I just started. Right?
Okay.
So when I was 14, that's when I actually started.
Yeah.
I was 14. I was in freshman in high school, I remember. And, of course, by this time, my father's already a pastor, so I'm already in the in the ministry, so to speak. And it just,
exactly. But
you know, at one time, I reached out. We had a music ministry. Also, I worked with a band for a couple of years. It was our band, Anointed Song. That you can find them on YouTube. Also, I played drums with them and managed. And
now, what would they?
Quite a few things.
What name would they look for on YouTube to get some of your videos?
Okay, for Anointed Song, they would just type in Anointed Song performances or Anointed Song live performances, and they'll see a picture. It'll be me and some others, my sisters, and different people in the picture. So they'll be able to recognize it probably pretty quickly.
Okay. And for those who, sorry to interrupt you, but for those who want to know what Michael looks like, when you go to visit the show, his picture flashes across it. So people will be able to know what you look like as they look for you on YouTube. They can always reference back the show, which is being recorded, to get you. And it looks like you had a good, was it a guitar in your hand or a violin? I couldn't remember.
It was a guitar. It was a guitar.
Okay, well, I'm not a musician. I like hanging out with musicians.
Yeah, I mean, the picture kind of cuts a lot of it out, so you kind of like, I think it's a guitar. So,
Right. It's like, okay, maybe a guitar, maybe a violin. I don't know. He's really talented. What you know, joy do you find in ministry?
My biggest joy in ministry is being able to, other than see people come to Christ, but one of my biggest joys is to see people be able to get to the point where they don't have to keep saying, "Hey, Mike," or "Minister Mike," or, you know, "I need you to help me with this." When they get to the point where they can stand on their own two feet for God and mature. Other than seeing people get saved, that's one of the biggest joys for me. And also to see people healed after they've been broken.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the biggest joys to give the people that cannot give you anything in return.
Okay. And you know, in those situations, you really get a chance to see God work. It's amazing when you sit back and actually watch the master do his thing, you know, and working through you. And I want, you know, everyone to get that message that you just said, you know, and that is, you know, God is Christ is working through you to help bring these people. Your beacon is shining so bright that you're bringing people to Christ and you're turning the sheep over to the shepherd. You know, sometimes we want to keep the sheep, but we can't. it's for us to help them, like you said, stand on their own two feet and be able to know and Christ personally that he doesn't need anyone. I think we need a revolving door on every church ministry. It's just a revolving door.
You know, and it's one thing, you know, especially when you, and I understand it from the pastor perspective, because, again, my father was a pastor, and I did ministry for a while. And you, as much as you like for people to stay, but when you know God wants them to do something, you can't be in the way, and you have to let people, like you say, stand on their own two feet, and then when they get to that place where they can walk, they can run, when they get to the point they can run for God, you know, they'll start really running in their purpose. And that's when, as a leader, we can't be jealous and we can't be upset, because, you know, it's just, it's time for them to be who God has made them to be. You know, and I think sometimes in general, as a people, we get jealous with people when they have certain areas of spiritual growth or anointing or talent or even natural talent. But my thing always has been, we're not supposed to be jealous anyway. We should want people to be better and go further and take the gospel to the level. And that's what it's all about, letting each generation do it better than the previous. I mean, my God, we got the internet now. So, you know, I mean, take it to the next level. Go.
Exactly. You know, when God gave me the vision of the ministry, was started as a book, so I understand you getting the command to put it in a book. So it started as a book, Bible study guide, a book of poems, and then he said, take it to the next level. And we made an internet-only ministry. We're a ministry without walls. And we're registered and so forth. But the thing is we reach people so much faster. And all around the world, you know, I didn't know there were Christians in some countries that are not predominantly Christian. You don't think about that is still going on, because we live in America, you know, and we have a freedom of religion. But there's some people who are still, just like Paul and Silas, they're still being persecuted in the name of our Savior. We have to continue to pray for those saints that are out there as well.
That's, yeah, like you said, over there is totally different. You know, you take places like, for example, Egypt. Egypt is in the news right now. You know, and a lot of people don't know the history, but Christianity was there even as close as almost around 100 AD, almost before it even came into there. But over the years, over time, what has happened after the Muslims came in, it became a different country, and it had the following sense. Like, if you're a Christian, you're part of me, and Muslims will exist because they understand history. And then, but if you try to take people from Islam and Christianity, you will be persecuted.
We
take a lot for granted here in the United States, but over there it's just a whole different world. It's like the days when Paul and when Jesus and the apostles were out there. Christianity was not popular, and if we don't watch it in the United States, it'll be the same if the church remains asleep and let people take the rights away. I tapped into a little bit in the book also, when you get to the inspiration section and the war section of the book. You know, certain writings I put in there because I want people to be able to say, hey, wait a minute, whoa, this is what we're supposed to be doing. You know, this is who we believe in. This is Christ, and these are our legal rights, and we have a right to do this and that. And we need to really be focused.
That's literally right. I'm sorry.
Hello?
Hi, I'm still here. Are you there? Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay, good. You know, with cyberspace, sometimes you can get along. You know, and we started, and this is a very spirited conversation. I'm enjoying myself so much. I always, you know, remind people the more you glorify our Savior, the more you're going to be persecuted. You know, even in a country where we have freedom of religion, that's other type of persecution that the devil does towards us. You mentioned one of the big ones is temptation earlier. You know, yeah. It's like, you know, keep you on your knees. Well, I want to play another song. This is Amazing Grace by Edward Hill, and I hope you enjoy it. It's Amazing Grace. Peace. Very peaceful. Yeah, very peaceful. Wow. That was Amazing Grace by Edward Hill, everyone. Another great musician out there doing his thing for the Lord. Michael, this time is flying. I'm like looking at the time left of the show. And we're really winding down to the last half an hour here. And I wanted to give you a chance to just talk to the audience. If you had a platform, what would you want to tell them? For those who might be listening live, or we have a lot of people who listen later as well, what advice would you give them to help them through this turbulent time that we're in?
Well, first of all, I would say know that God loves you. If you understand that God loves you, it changes your whole perspective on everything, the love of God. Number two is, I would even say, write down things that you're good at, things that you know you do well, and then pray over them. God, show me what to do. Because the Bible says a man's gift makes room for him. A man's gift makes room for him. So once you find out the gift that God has put in you, God puts those gifts in you for his glory, and your prosperity will come through those gifts. So the sooner you find out who you are, who God wants you to be, the love of God, all of that, the healing you need, all the salvation, all of that comes through the love of God. Once you get that down, then in the process of that, God will show you your purpose. God says, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have and that I think toward you. Thoughts of peace, and peace meaning wholeness, shalom. It also means plenty. So no worries, no stress. So God wants to prosper you. He wants to give you peace. His thoughts and his plans are not an evil. And it seems like it at times when we go through things, that certain things can hit us so hard and it hurts so bad. But God wants us to know that he's trying to kill us. And matter of fact, everything that's bad that happens to you is not necessarily God doing it to you. But we blame God.
Yeah. Amen.
Just I've done that. I even wrote a piece in the book said, Lord, it's called Fallen Hero. And it was just at that moment, that's how I felt.
I love it, you know, because of the pain. Exactly.
Then God says, after you yell at him and after you fuss him out and after you vent to him, God still says, I love you. I'm still here to help you. And he says, I am here, you know, and that's the beauty of God, you know. So pursue God, even when it hurts. Pursue God, even when disappointments come, even when things go very well, because as we know, a lot of our celebrities and different people, things could be going absolutely well. David was at a time when all kings go to war. He decided, for whatever reason, to stay back. Things were going well.
Yes.
God never left him in battle. He never lost one battle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like if he went, he would have gotten killed or lost. But for some reason, he decided to stay back. And just in that moment, being out of place or losing focus, in that moment, he saw Bathsheba, who was not his wife. He got her pregnant. Had her husband killed to cover up his mess. And as a result, after that, he went through a whole lot of things. Now, he did repent and ask God for forgiveness, but there were consequences that haunted him the rest of his life. And what I'm trying to say is that we can save ourselves a lot of pain, unnecessary pain, I put it that way, if we just focus on God and focus on our purpose. And just seek God for whatever it is that we need, whether it be love or finances or wisdom or relationships, whatever it is, and definitely seek the Lord about it. And not just say we seek in the Lord, but actually actively, daily pursue God like we would someone who loves us. And then the Bible says, give us the desires of our heart. So God talks to the prophet, not of evil. He said, I will give you a future and a hope. So and then he said, you will seek me or pursue me and find me, not for what we can get out of him, but just because we just want to love him most intimately, to be close to him. And then he says, when you search for me with all your heart, you will find me.
All your heart.
Right. All your heart. And that's the key. That's the key. Our mind and our heart and our soul have to want God more than anything, even more than the things that we're asking him for.
Exactly. you know, your heart needs to want God just to want him.
Yeah.
Just simply to want him, you know. You get to the point that you can't imagine your life without him.
Yeah.
The more you seek, to seek and open yourself. Open yourself to the living God. It's what I would like to add to what you beautifully said. But a lot of people forget that God is the living God.
Amen.
He's able to come in and fix any situation during any time, whatever circumstances, no matter how complicated you think it might be, is never too complicated for him. We're not that smart.
It is so funny because, who wants to be in a relationship with someone that only wants to get something from you all the time? I mean,
do
you just want me for who I am? Do you love me as I am? And the only one who can teach us that or give us that is God, because God is love, meaning he cherishes us, he values us, he sacrifices the best for us. You know, and that's what Jesus did. He became a man, God becoming man, the Son of God, dying, suffering, and then dying, and rises from the dead to give us new life. That's the love of God, and by his stripes we are healed. So whatever we've gone through, God can heal us from that. He can heal sickness, but he also can heal the internal wounds if we allow him to do that.
Yeah, and he's there waiting, but you need to take a step forward. He's standing right in front of you. You know, I tell people, he's standing right there. He's just waiting for you to reach out your hand. He's not going to grab it from you. He's waiting for you. You know, and it's that choice that we have. Oh, that choice. Absolutely. Well, this has been, you know, this is a rarity. We talked through the dance break. I don't know if you'd realize that every show there's a dance break that we have. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you're fine. I just said have to.
Yeah, amen. I love it. Like, that's when you really start getting into a conversation about God, because time will go by. Your cares will go by. Whatever agenda that you had, it automatically changes. He's such an awesome God. And, you know, Michael, I am so honored and glad to have met you. And I thank you for coming on to the show and blessing our listeners with your words of encouragement and your words of truth.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm humbled. I'm honored. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Hey, highlight. You can either sing us out or I can play a song. What do you want?
Oh, my goodness.
I know I kept telling him. I never told Michael what I was going to do during the interview. He was trying to find out, but I do like to put people on the spot. So.
Oh, my.
I'm gonna
say this one more time before we get, because we get singing or playing music, we might get carried away. One more time, the book is Love Inspiration War, and when you look it up on the internet, go to outskirtspress.com/love-inst-war-mweb. But if you forget, just say outskirtspress.com. You'll find it. Love Inspiration War. Michael Webb, you can find it in Amazon and Barnes & Noble. But most of all, know that God loves you.
And he means it. No matter how bad we've been, he still loves his children. It was a pleasure. Amen. Someone is going to listen on this one day and going to be blessed and rich. I do feel that in my spirit. Hang out with me. We're going to praise him as we roll out, okay?
Absolutely. That's good.
Okay, and I want to... Okay, before there an email that people can reach you at?
You can reach me in Facebook.
Okay.
There's a lot of Michael Webbs, Michael Webbs, so I had to put my middle name, Michael Roan Webb, R-O-A-N, Michael Roan Webb. You can also contact me for the book and information in regards to the book or booking, 757-831-9936, 757-831-9936.
And may God continue to bless all your efforts. Have a nice, wonderful. Okay, now let's praise. Here we go. Praise by Rhonda Hayden.
Singing a sweet, sweet love song. was it, Osiris, Dionysus, or Oshun that hung the sun, the stars, and the moon? The bishop of my soul, the creator of all things.
It has been a pleasure. I want you to enjoy the rest of your week. May God continue to bless you. And we are out for the day. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you.
Okay. Love you, too. Talk to you in cyberspace. And we're going to roll out of here like we always roll out of here. We're held great by art, by society, here, music, and one. Peace, blessing, and love.